Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. This is Dr. Toni, and I'm here with Lisa, and we're talking about seasonal affective disorder today.
I know. I feel like today, well, we've been lucky with a stretch of nice weather in Toronto, so I think everybody's feeling great, but maybe by the time this comes out, or if you're listening to it the week after, you know, the week of, what are we, November 7th or 8th today, it's going to, you know, take a turn for the worse, because with the time change, it's dark so early, our days are getting so much shorter, so you might start to notice, you know, energy's going down, motivation's going down, it's hard to get out of bed, you might want to hit snooze. Like, how have you been feeling, Toni?
You know, I've been feeling good. And it's kind of one of those things where this is going to, I just feel like this is going to be a different winter, especially because we're dealing with the pandemic still. So, and always every year, I catch myself not thinking about seasonal affective disorder maybe early enough. And I think it's just so important, whether it's, you know, that kind of spectrum between winter blues and seasonal affective disorder that we're kind of, we'll talk about today. You know, if you think that that's a case, you know, for you, that it really is a better idea to be a little bit proactive and preventative rather than waiting until you're really feeling down and low to start taking action.
For sure. Because some people know, right? Every, you know, November, December, January, oh, I'm so, you know, I'm not as productive. I really don't want to do anything. I'm hibernating more, and we're, you know, going to be forced to hibernate more than normal. So I think this year especially is really important to have some systems in place. Because I know for myself, like if I don't get outside, ideally for a bit before, you know, lunch at least, and then again later in the day and see that bright daylight, even if it's not sunny, even if it's cloudy, I'm not going to sleep as well. I'm going to have lower energy, and I definitely need to exercise too. Even that's sometimes the last thing I feel like doing when I wake up during this time of the year, because it's still dark. My alarm goes off. Pete sleeps a little bit later and he works out a little bit later than me, but I, you know, get out of bed. I'm kind of like, oh, it'd be great to lie in bed, but I just remind myself of how good I'm going to feel after I exercise. It really sets the tone for my day. So those are kind of some foundational pieces. And I think since, you know, going through the naturopathic college and being a naturopathic doctor, I definitely have less seasonal, symptoms of seasonal affective disorder with some of the tools and tricks that we learned in school. But I know with, you know, several days of rain in a row, even if it's in the summer, I can feel really down. So we really try to prioritize outdoor activity in the summer too, with skiing and tobogganing. And I used to run outside. I definitely walk frequently outside in the winter. I'm not running as much, but that's kind of what gets me through and taking my vitamin D, which we'll talk about. But Toni, how about you? What is it usually like for you in the winter?
Well, you know, I definitely notice my energy drops on cloudy days, you know, living here in Calgary, even, you know, even not necessarily just in the fall and winter too. So I'm definitely impacted by kind of the light that I get in. And you know, it's one of those things where I love living in Calgary, because even when it's cold outside and there's snow on the ground, like today, the sun is shining and we have this beautiful big blue sky. So, so you know, it can be deceiving when it's cold outside, but I love just like getting the sunshine in Calgary. And you know, we were talking, Lisa, about how, I love Toronto, but I really love the city of Vancouver as well. It's so beautiful on the ocean. And I just know that, you know, when I've visited there, it's been great. But it's mostly I'm visiting there in the summer. Once I did visit in, February, and it can be really rough because it can be, weeks on end where there's no sunshine and it's cloudy and rainy. And I just don't think that would be a very good experiment for my mental health at all. So I'm happy to live in Calgary.
I know it's great that you guys get so much sun. We're pretty good here in Toronto. I did live in Vancouver in a summer a way back. And when it was beautiful, oh my gosh, everybody was in the best mood. But yeah, it would rain for like a week on end. It seemed like forever. And during those days, it just really zapped my energy as well. I heard a funny comic talking about, I think they were from, somewhere in the southern states or one of the islands. And they're like, oh, when you come to Toronto, it's wintertime and you're inside and the sun's bright, like shining brightly. But then you go outside and you're like, what the hell? It's freezing cold. Why is the sun out? And I see Stuart, he's like, it's sunny. It must be warm, but it can really mess with you, right? But yeah, it's nice to have the sun, even if it's freezing cold, but it can kind of mess with you. So,
You do have to check the temperature because that's definitely something with Frankie too. I always have to convince her no, it's cold outside. And I mean, now that we have a little bit of snow, she just remembers, oh yeah, snow means it's cold outside.
So. And it's hard to believe you guys have snow already. Oh my gosh.
Oh, and this is the second round already, Lisa. That's life living in Calgary too, but it's really nice and sunny outside. You just have to bundle up a little bit. And like you were saying, it's one of those things where, especially this year, I know I'm going to just be even more proactive about just bundling up, going outside. Even on the weekend, it was just so windy and there was quite a big wind chill. I bundled me and Frankie up and, we went for a walk. She wasn't interested in playing at the park. So we just walked home and, we got outside and that was really key.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be for long either, right? And just throw fashion out the door. I've been known to wear my ski pants and my, parka. It doesn't matter if you're matching, but even 10 minutes here and there, if you can't stand longer, can make a huge difference. And I'm pumped too, because we just got a stand-up desk. So normally my office is in the basement and I'm doing virtual visits down there with a nice backdrop, but I can do it upstairs now in front of a nice big window facing west. So that's where I'm recording right now. And I think that's going to make a world of difference. So standing, looking out the window at some nature, seeing the sun. So I think that's really going to help us because it can make a difference your workspace too, right? So if you can switch to a place where you have a window.
Absolutely. And it's really key. And I think it's really important for us to be talking about it today too, because seasonal affective disorder actually occurs more in women than men. Four times as much. So, a lot of women out there will, know what we're talking about. And maybe, the men in your life don't necessarily get what you're experiencing in the fall and winter and spring. And, often, women who experience seasonal affective disorder can, start to have it when they're younger. And then it can just go from there. And it definitely does make a difference where you live. Here in Canada, about 15% of the population experience winter blues, and anywhere between 2 and 6% experience a definite seasonal affective disorder. That's definitely less, down in the States. You think about, some of those southern states, like in Florida, only 1% of the population experiences SAD. Whereas then when you think about more northern states like Alaska, up to 9% of people who live there experience seasonal affective disorders. So it does make a difference how far away you're living from the equator. And the farther away, living in a country or area where you're in the northern latitude, that makes you more susceptible for seasonal affective disorder and winter blues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are stats on this, right? So it is a real concern, and there's different degrees, like you said, Tony. Yeah, the winter blues, and then the full blown seasonal affective disorder. So let's talk a little bit about, some of the symptoms, and then we'll get into what causes it. But so it's like a sad mood and low energy are kind of the hallmarks that start around, when the time changes, or if you have shorter days, less sunlight, you might see a predictable pattern year after year, and then it can go away as we get into even, you know, late February, early March, as the days are getting longer again. You know, by springtime, people then feel their best. So there is that seasonality there. But you can feel, you know, irritable and sad. Your emotions can be all over the place. You might be crying at the drop of a hat or that commercial with that cute little puppy in it. we already talked about the fatigue, right? So you might just be dragging yourself, trying to get out of bed, trying to make it through the day. Everything can feel like a chore. You might notice it's harder to concentrate, harder to get things done. You might feel like you need more sleep or you're never rested too. And usually we talked about, you know, exercising being a benefit, but it's usually the last thing you want to do if you're suffering from seasonal affective disorder, because you're like, I just don't have the energy or the motivation to move my body. I just want to stay under my comforter, grab a hot tea, read a book, just withdraw from anything social. I don't want to, you know, you might not want to be around anybody as well. And if your energy levels are low, your mood's lower, sometimes you may reach for more carbohydrates, sugars, and comfort foods. So that may give you, you know, help with energy in the short term, but make you feel more tired later on. And you might get that dopamine or feel good release from food. You can get it from other things too. And you might also notice seasonal weight gain, right? Because you might be exercising less, moving your body less, eating more poorly, not going out as much. So those are the kind of hallmark symptoms, but we do need to recognize that these symptoms can be caused by other things, right? So you really want to get your thyroid checked, especially if this is drawn out. It's not just seasonal as well, but there's no harm in getting your thyroid checked this time of the year. If it's been, you know, 3 months, 6 months, your thyroid function can change, because sometimes that's the reason you're feeling so low. There can be low mood, low energy, depressive symptoms for sure, weight gain as well. So definitely want to rule that out. And then there can be sometimes, you know, around Christmas, it can be challenging for people if they have family problems and they're not looking forward to getting together with family. I don't know what's happening with that this year, or if there's, you know, been a loss or grief of any sort. So we definitely want you to reach out for help if you have low mood, regardless of the cause. And especially if you're unable to function, you're having thoughts of self-harm, you definitely want to reach out to a professional, a psychologist, psychotherapist, etc. But today we're going to talk about specifically the winter blues and seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's really important to look at, you know, all of the different possible causes of having low mood. And again, really recognizing the interplay between things like our stress hormones, things like our thyroid hormones, even different nutrients, you know, like vitamin B12, we'll be definitely talking about vitamin D. Those are all real key to be looking at what else is going on and kind of the context of your life. But, and you know, everyone, you know, there really is a spectrum when we're talking about any kind of seasonal patterns for your mood. So yeah, there, you know, you can have a milder form of seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, and it's kind of known as S-SAD, or, you know, more commonly we talk about the winter blues. However, that SAD can be really quite severe and devastating for people, so that they're really unable to function. So it really is a spectrum to look at. And again, that's where, okay, you know, we've been talking more and more about seasonal affective disorder. You know, it's most likely, you know, people have been aware about it for generations. But we've been talking about it more kind of since the 80s. There is a doctor, Norman Rosenthal, who moved to the United States from South Africa. And when he made that move, he noticed that he was much less productive in the winter, and then really returned to kind of his normal levels as soon as spring came. So he was doing a lot of research at the National Institute of Health in the States. He collaborated with a couple of other researchers who were looking at melatonin, a light, and our circadian rhythms. And they really kind of brought together a lot of this information that we know about when it comes to seasonal affective disorder, and also even created a seasonal pattern assessment questionnaire that we'll link to in the show notes that you can kind of see, again, all of the, where really you can look at all of the different things that you may be experiencing in terms of low mood, low motivation, weight gain, those kind of things. It's a pretty detailed kind of questionnaire. So, I mean, you could definitely go through it yourself. I would really encourage you to go through it with a healthcare professional so that, you know, we can really talk about the things that really make potentially more of a difference in your life and are more important, so that you can really strategize to make sure that you're really dealing with things effectively and not just, you know, self-diagnosing yourself and kind of going through there, but really getting the support that you need and actually deserve as well.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a great resource. So definitely check that out, review it with your healthcare practitioner. And just one thing to think about, it's interesting, right? Because in winter, you know, it's colder, there's shorter days, you know, is it supposed to be a time where we're supposed to rest a little bit more, take it easy, maybe not push as much as we do in the summer and the spring? And we've talked about, you know, our menstrual cycle awareness, or even following the moon cycle. And there's different times of the month, you know, more when you have your period or just leading up to your period, when it's a time where we're supposed to rest and reflect and rejuvenate. And that if we, you know, make those periods of our menstrual cycle kind of comparative to the season, that's known as kind of the winter season of your menstrual cycle. So, you know, it may be a time to slow down a little bit. We might not need to push, you know, at 100% like we might be in the spring and the fall, but we don't want you to feel depressed and down and unmotivated and socially isolating yourself. So that's, you know, where we're coming from here. But recognize maybe it is a time to rest and repair, because we can't push 100% the whole year or even 100% the whole part of our menstrual cycle. And then, you know, Tony, you talked about the different latitudes, right? So if you're definitely more northern, you're going to experience more likelihood of having seasonal affective disorder. So we can get into some of the causes, because the more northern you are, the less, like, the sun isn't, you're not as close to the sun, so you can't make as much vitamin D. So they've looked at, you know, vitamin D levels and seasonal affective disorder. So in people with less outdoor exposure, so you can make vitamin D starting in the skin from sunlight exposure, granted in northern latitudes, in the winter, if you're wearing sunscreen, that's going to be a little bit more difficult. But it's been linked to worse seasonal affective disorders if you have lower vitamin D levels. And why is that so? Well, vitamin D deficiency has been associated with clinically significant depressive symptoms. So they see that in people with low vitamin D and insufficiency. So not even just like you don't have hardly any, you don't have quite enough. You need to have optimal levels to be able to benefit from mood support potentially. And vitamin D also plays a role in serotonin activity, so our happy hormone activity. There still have been no causal links confirmed between serotonin or circadian rhythms and vitamin D and seasonal affective disorder, but there's association. So there's a potential that they are linked. And I think anecdotally for myself, for my patients, you know, if people have not been taking vitamin D and they start to take levels, correct deficiencies, you know, you can get a blood test to determine that, they're less likely to feel seasonal affective disorder symptoms. And I myself, since I've been taking vitamin D, I can handle the winter a whole lot better. And I just had my vitamin D tested. And I'm just in the like mid of the optimal range. So I don't know if we want to go through the numbers right now, but I've been taking vitamin D pretty consistently for, you know, my naturopathic career and student years as a naturopathic student too. So that's been what, since 2004, 2003, that's a long time. So people are usually surprised that they're low. They're like, oh, I take 1,000 a day. I get out in the sun, but get your levels tested. I've had so many patients recently, they get tested and they're like, you know, in the 60s, 63, which is, you know, considered suboptimal. So where are you at with vitamin D, Tony? Have you...
Yeah.
This time of year.
It's funny because I've kind of been off and on with my vitamin D. I mean, even, you know, I was pretty consistent with it for, you know, a few months, especially around the immune supportive properties of vitamin D. Pretty important when it comes to the pandemic and even kind of getting into the cold and flu season too. But I'm catching myself being a little bit off and on with vitamin D. And I know it's been a while since I've had my vitamin D blood levels checked. I've been good in the past. I've been, you know, just around that 100 mark. And that's where, yeah, it'd be a really good idea for me to test right now to see where I'm at. Have I been getting enough between kind of the off and on supplementation and getting outside? But I'm really going to be needing to take my vitamin D more, you know, more daily, because again, it's just going to be really important with getting less vitamin D production through my skin, through sunlight exposure, because that's just not going to be happening as much, not only because of the angle of the rays of the sun, but also I'm just going to be bundled up more. I'm going to have less skin exposed to be, producing that vitamin D too. So it's, you know, a really combination that way. And, you know, what we'll do on the show notes is, list the different levels of vitamin D that are suggested in terms of, you know, you want your, definitely want your vitamin D to be above 30 nanomoles per liter. You know, below 30 is deficiency. Then you're getting into an inadequacy between 30 and 50. A sufficient level can be 50 nanomoles per liter, but you're really wanting to get into an optimal range of 75 to 125 nanomoles per liter. And toxicity is something that you do have to watch with vitamin D. And that's, again, another reason why a blood test can be really important. We don't want to be taking too much vitamin D, because that can also have issues, that can have our body deposit calcium in places we don't want it, in our soft tissue. And that is really more of a long-term concern. But especially if you have been taking vitamin D on a regular basis, especially higher levels, you want to make sure that you're not getting, you know, into a range above 125, even towards 200 as well. So it's important to kind of look at those levels and see where you're at. Everyone's going to be different, because everyone has, different factors that has your body use your vitamin D properly, whether it is your genetics or whether you have a poor fat absorption because of issues with gallbladder or any kidney problems or other digestive problems. People who do have lower levels of vitamin D include people who do have a darker skin tone, because the amount of melanin in your skin will impact how your body produces vitamin D from sunlight. Aging can be an issue. Being on different medications like statins, like steroids, like diuretics can have an impact on how your body absorbs and utilizes that vitamin D. So that's really, you know, something that's important. And especially as, you know, naturopathic doctors, Lisa, we definitely take an individualized approach. It's not just about everyone taking the same amount of vitamin D. Everyone's going to need a different level of vitamin D to keep their levels optimal.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good point. So it is individualized. And because it's fat soluble, as you said, Tony, yeah, you can get toxicity. But interesting, like the deficiency symptoms include fatigue, right? Fatigue, mm-hmm. potentially low mood, muscle aches and pain, bone pain. Your immune system can be weaker. So those are pretty common this time of the year, right? So get checked, see if that's you and if that's one of the reasons. And sometimes you can have more than one reason why you have some of these symptoms, right? Your thyroid might be off. Your vitamin D might be low, you're not getting outside and moving. So, you know, looking at all of these individually is really important. So get tested. We can't stress that enough.
For sure. And again, like you said, a lot of people don't realize the link between vitamin D and our serotonin. And definitely when we're talking about seasonal affective disorder and winter blues, as a potential cause, we definitely look at, you know, lower levels of serotonin being produced. And again, you know, there can be different factors in that, whether again it's vitamin D levels or, you know, having a certain transport, a protein that transports serotonin away and leads to, you know, lower serotonin activity in your body that can cause depression. But, you know, there can be a few different factors, but we know in general that as sunlight decreases in the fall, especially for those of us who live, you know, north and more northern areas, there is a general corresponding decrease in serotonin activity that can occur. And so again, it's that link between our circadian rhythms. And when, you know, the light and the amount of light and amount of day changes outside, for some people, you know, your circadian rhythm or your body's internal clock, and that the synchronization between the light and dark changes outside can be timed differently. So they're finding that for people with seasonal affective disorder, it's more difficult for your body to adjust to the changes that are going on outside. And then, you know, don't get me started on daylight savings time, because I'm not a big fan of that.
I know not a lot of people are, right? So it's a big shift. Even though it's an hour, it can make a world of difference. You see it in kids, you see it in adults. But, you know, the circadian rhythm is so key, because when we see light in the morning, that's when our melatonin shuts down. So we stop producing melatonin, our sleep hormone, which is made in our pineal gland. That should trigger the release of cortisol. So cortisol, our stress hormone, we need enough in the morning to be released to feel, you know, energized, ready to go. And as the day goes on, those cortisol levels drop. And as that cortisol levels drop and it gets darker, then your melatonin increases. But what are we doing? We're inside, we're exposed to so much blue light in our houses too. So then our body thinks it's daytime, even though the sun has already set. You might not be getting out first thing in the morning and seeing daylight, or working in a basement office. So your rhythm can get thrown off, and you could actually potentially have high melatonin because you're not getting that message to shut down production with that morning light. Or exposure to a light box, which we'll talk about. So people with seasonal affective disorder, another cause may be the overproduction of melatonin. So supporting your natural circadian rhythm, getting out first thing in the morning in daylight, or using a light box, parking yourself in front of a window, and then dimming the lights at night, using blue blocking glasses we've talked about, using different light bulbs or red light, you know, as you're reading, trying not to have screens on, or having software like Flux that helps to reduce some of that blue light exposure, which stops your melatonin production. These are some strategies that you can incorporate to have a more normal, if you will, circadian rhythm.
Yeah, for sure. Because when we're talking about like treatments of seasonal affective disorder and winter blues, light therapy, especially for me, is really the top of my list, is something to think about, especially when, again, we're talking about, you know, having less light during the day. So more natural sunlight, and even potentially using a light box, like you've mentioned in, you know, previous episode, using a light box, you know, and that's also known as a bright light therapy or phototherapy. And that's where those light boxes can filter out, you know, ultraviolet rays, but use a certain level of cool white fluorescent lighting, which is a 10,000 lux setting, which is, that's kind of the research that's been recognized for this light therapy specifically for seasonal affective disorder, and getting, you know, between 20 and 60 minutes of exposure, you know, is can be really key and a really effective treatment for seasonal affective disorder. And this is even where it's, you know, that's about 20 times your normal level of ordinary indoor lighting that you have. So again, it's something to really think about, that that idea of combining that with, again, getting outside, you know, being, you know, by your window, so that you can get that natural light as well.
Mm-hmm. I find a light box can be a game changer for a lot of people. And we have one here. And I've been adding it to my morning meditation and gratitude journaling routine while I'm also in a room with bright sunlight too. So you don't have to like find extra time. Some people will put their light box on while they're having breakfast or their cup of mm-hmm. tea, or if they start work first thing in the morning. Hopefully you're not, but you can put it beside your computer and shine it on you there. So you can really incorporate it in an easy way, but it can really help to reset that circadian rhythm, helping with your energy and even your sleep later. You can notice sleep is better, mood in the day can be better. So you can give that a try for sure.
Absolutely. It's interesting because there's actually even been research on counseling for helping people deal with seasonal affective disorder. And specifically, they looked at, there was one study that looked at using a technique called cognitive behavior therapy. And it was even done in a group format where 6 weeks of two sessions per week was as effective as half an hour of, that light, kind of light therapy. So yeah, again, there's another option. And, you know, that's where, you know, again, you can definitely benefit from counseling. And you can also benefit from that light therapy too. It'd be interesting to see a research study using both.
Definitely. I know CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, can be so effective for so many things, right? Like I've done it for insomnia and it was a game changer for me. So it's cool that they can use it for seasonal affective disorder. But yeah, what would happen if they were combined together? So it's great. They have some studies on that. And then another thing that can throw your circadian, well, two things that can throw your circadian rhythm off is sugar and caffeine. So that's what a lot of people reach for if they have seasonal affective disorder, right? Like the 3 p.m. Starbucks run. I can't even believe how much sugar is in some of those drinks, right? We linked to one. I think it was like 50 grams of sugar, which is what, like over 10 teaspoons? That blows my mind.
Exactly. And you don't necessarily think about it as you're drinking it.
Oh. I just think my teeth would hurt as I was drinking it, but your blood sugar. So first of all, with blood sugar, yeah, you're going to get a peak in blood sugar. You're going to feel euphoric. You're going to get that natural, well, not natural high, that sugar artificial high, but then your blood sugar is going to crash and you actually can release cortisol. So it's going to make you feel anxious, jittery, shaky. It throws off your circadian rhythm because if you're doing that, your cortisol is not following its natural pattern that we talked about before. And then caffeine interferes with your circadian rhythm too, because as the day goes on, we actually accumulate a substance called adenosine. So that makes us kind of drowsy and sleepy in a good way, so that by the time we get to bedtime, we're ready to go to sleep. But every time you have caffeine, it actually sets that adenosine level at a lower amount. So you're going to be up later, you're going to be wired. You're not going to want to get out of bed because you're going to have a poor quality sleep. So really being conscious of that, no benefit in having sugar except for the feel good effects. But during a pandemic, I understand people are needing something to look forward to and some comfort foods, but you want to do it at a level that's not going to impact you in a negative way. And then really limiting caffeine to before. Sometimes I can't drink caffeine after noon or else I'm going to be up later in the night. I am sensitive, but maybe not past 2 o'clock. So being aware that that can impact your circadian rhythm and your energy and mood the next day.
For sure. And definitely even, conventional programs and recommendations around, especially, more mild seasonal affective disorder, they definitely have recommendations around limiting your sugar intake, limiting your starch intake. Even that original researcher for a seasonal affective disorder, Dr. Rosenthal, advocates, a diet more high in proteins, in vegetables, in unprocessed foods, in complex carbohydrates, so that you are getting more of that blood sugar balance. As well as, managing stress levels, whether it's, again, exercise, whether it's counseling, even other forms of mindfulness like transcendental meditation, yoga, walking, those can all be really beneficial to, again, kind of manage that cortisol balance, as well as kind of your blood sugar balance too.
I think that's really key, right? To just manage our stress. Like, you know, we're always going to have stress. It's how do we deal with it? How do we release it as opposed to kind of internalize it and take it on? And these are great tools to kind of work through that and release it so that can balance your stress hormones and your circadian rhythm and maximize sleep. So I love those recommendations. And then whenever we're thinking about low mood too, so yes, there's the neurotransmitter, you know, brain hormone kind of theory about it, you know, serotonin, norepinephrine. But we also are realizing inflammation in the brain really impacts our mood in a negative way. And that can start in the gut. So if you have, we talked about leaky gut, increased intestinal permeability is the technical term.
Yes.
I remembered. So when you have leaky gut, you can have leaky brain, or I guess increased brain permeability, where things are getting into the brain that aren't supposed to be, and that can trigger and lead to inflammation. And then your brain cells aren't going to be communicating properly. You're going to impair potentially the production of neurotransmitters. So working with the gut, eating right for you, taking probiotics, we know there's the gut-brain link too. So that's really key. And we talked about that. We'll link to the episode. But anti-inflammatory herbs and supplements like curcumin and fish oil, these can really reduce that inflammation and support mood as well. So those are some good ones to consider, but always consult with your healthcare practitioner.
Yeah. And especially when we're kind of looking at, options instead of a conventional approach of treating a seasonal affective disorder, like a prescription antidepressant. Again, those can be quite effective for, a small maybe percentage of the population. Typically antidepressants work for up to 30% of the population. But, you know, again, there's so many other options to look at. And even, you know, as naturopathic doctors, something that I definitely work with my patients even is, especially if there is more severe symptoms of depression, is there something that we can look at working on before considering something like a prescription antidepressant? All of those things that we've already talked about, but also there are certain supplements and nutrients that can really help specifically with that serotonin balance. The herb St. John's wort has a ton of research on it for mild to moderate depression. Also a nutrient called SAMe. Something I always keep in mind as well is a nutrient called 5-HTP or 5-hydroxytryptophan. And that's a precursor to your serotonin production, and also your melatonin production. So those can be some things, I often consider with my patients when we're talking about how to support the mood, especially as we get into fall and winter.
Those are some great supplements. And just, talking to your healthcare practitioner, because St. John's wort can interfere with some medications, for example, or make you more susceptible to a sunburn. SAMe might cause some GI upset, for example, but these are really good options that have good efficacy, right? And then reach out for counseling and therapy if you're really low in mood, and it's something you definitely can get support with for sure. So those are some great supplements. And then just some simple lifestyle things that you can do, right? So getting out in nature, you can make it like, a triple whammy, because, being with friends and around people and having community, that'll support the release of oxytocin, our feel-good bonding hormone. So getting out, socially or physically distance, walk with someone in a local park, you're getting the benefits of being in nature, which can help lower stress hormones and release, feel-good benefits there. So you're getting the exercise, you're in nature, and you're physically distance walking with a friend or talking with a friend on the phone and still having, some connection too. So that's a really good kind of nice hack to fit in if you can. And then even just like exercise in general, right? So for me, first morning exercise gets me kind of revved up in a good way for the day. So it also supports your natural cortisol kind of peak in the morning. So it can get you going. You're filling up your gas tank. People may benefit from, you want to exercise in the day by walking. And if that's the only time you can get in a more intense workout later in the day, that can be okay too. but just realize you might throw off your cortisol rhythm if you're doing some really intense exercise at night. So you really want to have a good wind down, cool down, and stretching period. And then my favorite to unwind is Tulsi tea. So, you know, if people are working it really late at night, definitely drink some Tulsi tea, do some breathing so you support your natural circadian rhythm.
Yeah. And again, those are all kind of great different tips. And again, you know, what works for you may be different than someone else. So that's where, again, even working with a naturopathic doctor to, you know, put together the best plan for yourself so that it really does focus on your needs and what works for you is really key.
For sure. Yeah. So what are you going to commit to? What are you going to, you know, sometimes if it's, you know, if you're not a very good, you know, committer to exercise, it might be like, okay, I'm going to physically distance walk with my friend this many times out of the week. And then you kind of commit to that, right? So really figuring out how to kind of hack it. So you're going to stick to some of these behaviors and even leaving, you know, your vitamin D on the counter. So you see it and that'll remind you to take it. Little tricks like that can make a difference. But at the very least, so if I had to kind of pick kind of a few things to focus on, if you're one that suffers from seasonal affective disorder, so get your thyroid panel tested and your vitamin D, see if those need to be corrected. Definitely eat to balance your blood sugars with healthy protein and fat, limiting caffeine, alcohol, and sugar as much as possible. Get some morning exercise and sun exposure if that's possible. Still try to get out a little bit in the day and work near a window too. So that'd be kind of my top tips to keep energy and mood higher during the winter.
Definitely get that light in when you can.
For sure. Yeah, it doesn't have to be sunny, but still see daylight, right? So it's not over if it's a cloudy day. Just be like, even just getting outside in the cloudy day is going to make a difference too with that full light spectrum.
Absolutely, for sure. Awesome. So let's switch gears from talking about seasonal affective disorder. Although even, you know, that getting some success that way, I know that you're getting some success because I'm sure you have a supermom moment to share with us, Dr. Lisa.
Well, I do actually. I was so happy to have some, you know, naturopathic tips up my sleeve because Stuart, it's been a little bit of a struggle to get him down to sleep. I think it has to do with the time change and he doesn't need his nap at preschool anymore. He doesn't nap at home. But Saturday night, so he, first of all, wouldn't go to sleep easily. He was like up, you know, eight times and it was just exhausting. So by the last time I put some lavender essential oil, I rubbed it on my hands, rubbed it on his feet. And then I had a nice kind of healing balm with lavender and he's getting some dry hands because of all the hand washing. So I rubbed that into his hands and I told him, Stuart, this is going to help you fall asleep right away and you're going to have such a good sleep. So he did fall asleep after that application of the lavender oil and cream. He still woke up in the middle of the night, which is unusual for him. And he woke up a few times again. So again, I applied the cream and the essential oil and I said, this is going to help you fall back asleep and you're going to have a great sleep. And he fell back asleep that time and he slept in a little bit. So I think these things can make a difference. And then how we position it as well, right? Like I think there's benefit obviously to lavender oil, but the power of suggestion and placebo can be really efficient too. So I probably could have rubbed any sort of cream and maybe said the same thing and it might have helped, but I think the lavender added to it as well. So I think that's my super mom moment.
I love that. And I love also how you were just like, you know, really getting him involved and like, this is why we're putting this on you. You're going to get a better sleep so that he can really get on board. And yeah, it does sound like it worked well. So good job,
Lisa. The next day he's like, Mommy, the cream and the lavender, the oil, I forget exactly what he said. He's like, it worked really well.
Perfect.
So I'm glad he thinks that because then we're going to pull it out again. So fingers crossed it works the next time. You never know. But I know you're doing a great job, Tony, but can you think of a mess up that's happened recently?
Oh, yeah. And this goes back just a little bit to Halloween. And this was a big one because even, you know, even talking to different friends and family and they're asking about how, you know, did Frankie go trick-or-treating? What did she dress up as? And you know, we did, it was great to go outside and connect with our family. Frankie went trick-or-treating with her cousin. So we met up with my brother and his wife and went out in the neighborhood. Again, everyone was appropriately distanced, and it was fun to see everyone's different strategies of trick-or-treating. But then we realized we didn't take any photos of the kids trick-or-treating. So everyone, you know, of course, the grandparents were looking for photos, and that was a big mess up. You know, we realized it right after we got home that no one took any photos of the girls going around the neighborhood, which was disappointing. But at least there was a little save. Frankie saved me, because the next morning she wanted to go to the park, and she wanted to wear her costume. She had a sloth costume, and especially it's, you know, a good idea in Calgary to have a warm costume to wear. So she just put the sloth costume over her clothes, and we went to the park, and I made sure to take photos then.
So my mama must have for the week is the stand-up desk. So I've talked about it a little bit already. We have it set up in our spare room, and it's looking west. So I can see, you know, the sunset. I'm looking out at some trees in our backyard. So this is really great, because not only, you know, helping with my mood and energy by seeing daylight as opposed to being stuck in the basement, but I can actually, like, you know, stretch a little bit while I'm working on my computer, move around. Sometimes I'll march in the spot, because you can kind of just, I just lock up if I'm sitting for too long. So I'm really excited that we got it. I think it was worth the investment, and I think it's going to make winter a whole lot easier.
Oh, that's so awesome, Lisa. That sounds great. My mama must have for this week is especially timely, given that there was just an election in the United States. And so something that I found really, really helpful is to really make sure that I was getting a balanced source of news around the U.S. politics. So I've definitely made some changes. And more recently, I've been aware of a group called The Hill, which I watch on YouTube, and there's a show called The Rising with Crystal and Sagar. It's, you know, Crystal is leaning left, more Democratic. Sagar is more on the right, more Republican, and they're both really, you know, but they really keep in mind each other's perspectives. They're really looking at even, you know, the pros and cons to both sides. So it's really nice, balanced, and it doesn't get into, you know, a lot of the, you know, the one-sided kind of issues and problems that can come up when we're talking about politics, especially in the States. So having that news source has really, like, I found been really beneficial for my mental health and reducing my stress around this whole situation that's kind of still, you know, a little bit up in the air. But it's just nice to know that, again, I can trust the information that I get from them because it is so balanced.
Oh, thanks, Tony. I'll have to check that out for sure. Yeah, Pete and I are kind of just on a, you know, a news detox. So I have been really out of the loop, but I, you know, I kind of want to hear what's going on. And I know, you know, the basics, but I'll definitely check that out, because I just get too sensitive or aggravated if I'm kind of trying to keep up day to day, minute to minute. So thanks for sharing that.
Oh, for sure. And thanks everyone for joining us today. Again, you can connect with us and check out the show notes at our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love for you to subscribe. You can leave us a review and a 5-star rating, especially if you enjoyed this episode. And that allows other perimenopausal mamas out there to find us too. So stay safe and healthy, everyone. Take care.
Take care.